like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Again, we'll begin reading with verse 21, but we'll read down through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 5. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered or permitted no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. In verses 21 through verse 24, we read of one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, how that he came to Jesus on behalf of his ailing daughter. The account picks up again in verse 35. So between verses 24 and verse 35, there's an interruption. There's an interruption in the procession that was going to this ruler's house. Now, an interruption is a cutting in. An interruption is an intrusion, a butting in, a discontinuation, a disruption, even a stoppage. If you think about it, life is full of interruptions. We all have interruptions. And most of us find interruptions to be very irritating. Interruptions can be exasperating. They can be very bothersome. They can be very trying. They can come at any time. And they can come in many different forms, many different shapes. They can come in many different ways. They can be very, very inconvenient. They can be very inopportune. They can be very tiresome. They can be very annoying and just difficult to deal with. This man experienced an interruption that appeared to come at a very inopportune time. And I'm sure it was very trying to him. I'm sure it was even exasperating to him. But there are some valuable lessons in these verses concerning the interruptions that come into our lives from time to time. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening, is interruptions. And again, there's some valuable lessons that we learn here in these verses. First of all, we see the case, an example, of this ruler of the synagogue. He is an example to us. He is a good example. We see that he had a burden. We see that he had a great need. We read in verse 23, he said, My daughter lieth at the point of death. Luke, in his account, in Luke 8, verse 42, says she lay a dying. She lay a dying. But Matthew, in his account, in Matthew 9 and verse 18, the ruler came to Jesus and said, my daughter is even now dead. My daughter is even now dead. In other words, in his mind, she was as good as dead. There was no hope. He knew that she was going to die. He was completely helpless. He could do nothing. Could do nothing to prevent her dying. And the case was hopeless. So here he is. He's helpless. And he's in a hopeless situation. So what does he do? He seeks Christ. In verse 22, we read, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Matthew 9, verse 18, Matthew says, behold, there came a certain ruler. And Luke, in his account, in Luke 8, verse 1, 8, verse 41, said, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. Now, you'll notice in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke's account, when they spoke of this man coming to Christ, they all said, behold. Every one of them, none of them said, behold, a certain woman came, but they all said, behold, this ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus. And the word behold is used to introduce something very extraordinary. Something momentous. Something that could even be shocking, very surprising. But the word behold calls upon us to give it serious thought. To give it serious consideration. And this man heard of Jesus, he came, and he believed. He believed that Jesus was able to heal his daughter. With nowhere else to go, he came to Jesus. And that's when most folks will come. when they have run out of all other options, when there is no other place to go, and the Lord can bring you to that place where you have no other options and where you have nowhere else to go, it is then that the sinner will come to Jesus Christ. It is then that God's people will seriously come to Jesus Christ. But he came believing that Jesus was able. He made a deliberate choice to seek Christ on behalf of his daughter. And he was willing to sacrifice everything to seek Jesus Christ. Because of the nature of the opposition that Jesus was facing, this man, by coming to Christ, risked his place as a ruler in the synagogue. He risked his position. He risked his status in the community by just coming and falling down at the feet of Jesus Christ. But this man was willing, because he had a need, because there was nothing else he could do, he was willing to seek Christ at all cost to himself. And that is when you and I will be willing to seek Christ at all cost. There aren't many. There aren't many, even amongst God's people, that are willing to seek Christ at all cost. Whether it's going to cost you your position, your status, there aren't many who are going to seek Christ if it's possible that it could cost them everything. Everything that they've worked for. But this man risked everything to seek Christ. We see that when he came to Jesus, he fell at his feet. Verse 22. He was not ashamed to be seen with Christ. He was not ashamed of being at the feet of Christ. He personally and visibly sought Jesus Christ. Now again in verse 22, we see he came as an absolute dependent upon the Lord. And when you realize, and we all have to get to this point, whether saved or unsaved, that you are 100% dependent upon him. You will not fully trust him until you get to that point where you realize that he's the only one that can help you. And that's why, again, we've said many times when people say, oh, I feel so helpless. Praise the Lord. That's the best place. That's the best place you can be. Because until then, you're not going to seek Christ. Not in sincerity. Not wholeheartedly. So this man, when he saw him, fell at his feet. He fell at his feet as an absolute dependent. And he was not ashamed to do so. Here he is, the ruler of the synagogue. And he takes his place at the feet of Jesus. He takes the place of the lowest of servants. And he was not ashamed to do so. He took the place of a needy creature. And again, he was not ashamed to do so. He also came as a pleader, as a beggar. We read in verse 23, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. He came pleading. He came begging. He had a burden.
He had a weight that he was carrying. Luke tells us in Luke 8, verse 41 and 42, that he besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. This is his only daughter. She is sick. She is so sick that unless there is a divine intervention, she is going to die. And there wasn't anything that the father could do. There wasn't anything that the mother could do to prevent this from happening. So the only thing that Jairus could think about doing was to go to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, as Jesus crossed over to the other side of the sea, he immediately fell at his feet. And he began to beg and he began to plead on behalf of his daughter. And I'm afraid that many of God's people need to be brought to the point in their life where they are going to beg and plead with the Lord. It hasn't gotten bad enough for most folks because they're not begging and they're not pleading. But it had gotten bad enough for this one that he came and he took his place before the Lord. He came not only begging, but he came believing that Christ was able. Notice verse 23. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may live, or that she may be healed, and she shall live. He believed. He believed that Jesus Christ was able to heal his daughter. He said, come and lay your hands on her, and she will be healed. It's not that she might be healed, but that she may be healed, that she will be healed, and she will live. So he believed that Christ was able to heal his daughter. And when you're as low as you can get, and you have nothing, and there is nothing you can do, and you believe that God is able, you're coming. You're going to come to the Lord. But the problem is, most people have not got to that situation where it's hopeless yet. They haven't got to that situation where it's helpless yet. And they don't really believe that God is able. But when you put all of that together, and when you're as low as you can get, you'll come. You'll come to the Lord. So, though most people believe today that, oh, it's just an awful thing to get as low as you can get, I'm telling you it's a wonderful thing. Amen. It's a good thing. Because that's when you'll get help. That's when you're now in a position to get help. We read in verse 24, after he begged, prayed to Christ, verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Can you imagine the joy that Jairus felt at this time? Jesus went with him. Can you imagine the hope that now begins to fill his heart? Can you imagine the expectation? Jesus is going to my house and he's going to touch my daughter and he's going to heal her. He's filled with expectation. He's filled with anticipation. And he's filled with confidence that everything's going to be all right. Jesus went with him. But then something happened. There was an interruption. There were really a few different interruptions. In verse 24, we read, "And much people followed him and thronged him." Luke says in chapter 8, verse 42, "But as he went, the people thronged him." Now that's an interruption, because I imagine that Jairus was in a hurry. "My daughter lies a dying. Lord, would you come to my house and would you touch her?" And Jairus realized, we don't have much time here. We've got to get moving. We've got to hurry. And I'm sure as he looked around upon that crowd that was pressing in upon Christ, he's thinking, this is slowing us down. That we don't need this. I wish these people would just back off and let us move on. The people thronging Christ was an interruption. The people thronging Christ was an intrusion. It was a disruption. And it was an intrusion and a disruption at a very inopportune time, as far as Jairus is concerned. And I'm sure that as they're moving along and the crowd is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, as word begins to spread that Jesus is on his way to the ruler of the synagogue's house, and he's going to heal his daughter. And the curiosity seekers began to gather. And the pace began to slow. And I'm sure it was very, very exasperating to Jairus. I'm sure it was quite bothersome to him, as he saw this simply as a disruption to the progress toward his house. Then we read in verse 25 of another disruption. "And a certain woman." This is a major disruption. Here she comes. And I'm sure Jairus thought within himself, of all times, why in the world does she have to come now? We're in a hurry. We've got to get to my house. And we've all thought of that. We've all thought that thought of all the times. Why does it have to happen now? Interruptions do not come at opportune times always. They come at inopportune times. What we think is an inopportune time, it's not an inopportune time to the Lord. His only daughter is dying. And in his mind, there is no time to waste. And here comes this woman, and everything stops. Everything stopped. And I'm sure Jairus was exasperated. Why now? Why now? My daughter's dying. We don't have time to waste. And here comes this woman. But I believe that the Lord would use this interruption by this woman, to strengthen the faith of Jairus. This woman, who for 12 years had a flow of blood, made her way through that mob of people that were around Jesus, because she believed, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She reached forth her hand in faith, clutched the hem of his garment, and I believe that Jesus stopped when he said, "Who touched my clothes?" I believe he stopped. I believe everything stopped. Everything stopped. This was an interruption. And the disciples would say to Jesus, "The people throng thee. The people throng thee, and you ask, who touched me?" And I'm sure Jairus is thinking, "Who cares? Lord, who cares who touched you? My daughter, she's dying. Who cares?" I'm sure Jairus didn't care. Didn't matter to him. I'm sure that he's thinking, "What does it matter? Lord, what does it matter that someone has touched thee? Lord, let's keep moving. My daughter is dying, and we don't have time to waste." And Jesus, standing still, said, Somebody hath touched me." And this woman, who had come up from behind him and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole, when Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me," she went from behind him to in front of him. Notice in Luke chapter 8, verse 47. And when the woman, in verse 46, Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. So now she's no longer behind him. She is on the ground in front of him. And notice what she did. She declared unto him before all the people. But all that multitude, I'll tell you one person who heard it real good, was Jairus. He heard every word she said. She declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him. That is, she told her story. Why it was she came. She told the story why it was that she touched him. And how that when she did touch him, she was healed immediately. Now, I don't know how long it took her to tell her story, but it was another interruption. It was another interruption. But Jairus heard this woman's story. He heard how that for 12 years, by the way, his daughter is 12 years old. We're told that later in the chapter. He heard about how this woman for 12 years had been an outcast, had been estranged from her family and her friends, and from the place of worship. He heard about her 12 years of anguish. He heard about her 12 years of torment. He heard about her 12 years of affliction, her 12 years of sorrow and heartache. He heard how that now she had absolutely nothing, and how that she had tried everything but only got worse. He heard her say, "Lord, I came believing that if I could just touch your garment, I would be whole. So I made my way through this crowd, and I reach forth and I grasp the hem of your garment, and immediately I could feel myself whole. Immediately I could feel that the blood had stopped." And Jairus is hearing this. And I believe this is a God-sent interruption just for Jairus. And there are many God-sent interruptions. in our life. But Jairus not only heard, don't you think that he could see the joy and the jubilation that she had? And he heard Jesus say to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now the Lord spoke those words to that woman. But it wasn't just to encourage her. It was to encourage Jairus also. In other words, everything's going to be all right. I made her whole. I can make your daughter whole. And I believe the faith of Jairus at this very moment was strengthened. I believe his faith was bolstered by what transpired with this woman. And all that we might learn to look at all the interruptions that come our way, as inconvenient as they might be, as inopportune as they might appear, and as tiresome and as annoying and as difficult as they might be, that we might learn to see them as opportunities to strengthen our faith. This was why this interruption took place. But while Jesus was speaking to this woman, there came another interruption. And by this time, I believe that Jairus was more sure than he was before that everything was going to be all right. That Jesus was going to heal his daughter. That Jesus was able to heal his daughter. But then came the greatest disruption of all. We read in verse 35 of our text, Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While he yet spake, that is, while he was speaking the words of verse 34, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead." Thy daughter is dead. And I imagine sorrow and anguish now filled the heart of Jairus. He also had the concern for his wife at this time. We know that he had a wife because in verse 40, Jesus taketh the father and the mother of the damsel. And I'm sure he's concerned for his wife at this time. Their daughter is dead. So his heart is now filled with sorrow. Then came the discouraging words from those of his house. "Why troublest the master any further?" Jairus, she's dead. There's no need for you to trouble Jesus Christ any further. In other words, Jairus, it's all over. There's no need to pursue this matter any further. I believe this too was an intrusion. But this was an intrusion that would test the faith of this man. And I believe Jesus looked at him and saw in his face fear. Because Jesus would say to him in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid." Telling me that he could see the fear in this man's face. He is saying, "Do not let this news frighten you. Do not let this news alarm you. Do not let this news intimidate you. Do not allow this news to cause you anxiety and distress. Be not afraid. Do not allow this to cause you to be reluctant and hesitant. And what was the cure? Be not afraid. Only believe. In other words, Jairus, you keep on believing. You came to me believing. You came to me believing that I am able to heal your daughter. You keep on believing. Don't stop. Keep on believing. Is this not what Jesus taught in John 14 verse 1? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. Believe. And this is what he's telling Jairus. He's saying, in spite of the discouraging news, thy daughter is dead. In spite of that news, you keep on being persuaded that I am able. You keep on believing. You keep on having confidence in me. You keep on having that assurance in me. Jairus, you just keep on believing. And I believe he did. Again, his faith was strengthened. All of these were interruptions. The crowd was an interruption. The woman was an interruption. The news that would later come, thy daughter is dead, that was an interruption. But the wonderful thing is, there are no interruptions in the plan and work of God. None. And we need to always keep that in mind. Yes, our plans can be interrupted. Our desires can be interrupted. But there are no interruptions in the plan and work of God. There are no intrusions. There are no disruptions. This did not disrupt what Jesus was going to do. In the mind of Jairus, these were simply interruptions and delays. But Jesus, did he not make it to the house of Jairus? Did he not make it there? And did he not make it there right on time? Because God's time is always right on time. These interruptions, so-called interruptions, again, were not an interruption to the plan of God. And these so-called interruptions led to even a greater miracle, to something even greater. Notice verse 38, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Nothing could prevent him from coming there. Nothing could prevent him from arriving there. And seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. He sends them all out. He takes the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, we see in Luke's account, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took her by the hand, and he said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately the damsel arose. And there's a message here. She not only arose, but she walked. In other words, she manifested the life that God gave her. She manifested it by walking. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. You see, this was even a greater miracle than when she lieth sick and dying. The interruptions led to even a greater miracle. Led to a greater opportunity for Jesus Christ to manifest his miraculous power. And many times that's all the interruptions are.
is just an opportunity for you and I to see even a greater display of God's miraculous power. So in closing, there are things that disrupt our plans, our intentions, things that can stop what we view as progress, and what you and I view as progress and what the Lord views as progress could be two entirely different things. But the interruptions come. And yes, they can be irritating. They can be exasperating. They can be bothersome. And they can be very trying. But remember, there are no interruptions with the Lord. Everything is working right on schedule. Don't you think the Lord knew exactly what he was going to do? Well, certainly he did. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And he knew exactly what he was going to do. And the Lord may be using the interruption to bless us even more. And the Lord may be using the interruption to strengthen our faith as the faith of Jairus was strengthened. But no matter what the interruption, look for the hand of the Lord. Be not afraid. Only believe. Only believe. That will cure all kinds of trouble. Believe. People get offended at that because people want some magical portion. They want some magic done. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. There's the solution. Believe. Believe what God has written. Believe it. Not only believe it, grab hold of it. Do not let go. Just keep on believing. That'll get you through. You'll be amazed at what simple believing can accomplish. What simple believing can get you through. Believe. Believe. We all profess many things. We profess to believe many things. But there comes a time in all of our lives where we're going to be tested on whether or not we really believe. There comes times in our lives where you're going to have to believe. And that's the only thing you can say is trust the Lord. And some people think that's trite, but it's very simple. Just trust the Lord. Just trust Him. When the interruptions come, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord that He's working all things according to His purpose. That He's not going to be disrupted. His work is not going to be disrupted. His work is not going to be stopped. He's going to do what He wills to do. Just keep on believing that. In spite of all the interruptions. So there's no need, though we all do, there's no need to get irritated. There's no need to get exasperated at the so-called interruptions. But look at the ways that they might strengthen our faith. Jairus saw that this woman was blessed of God, and his faith was strengthened. As we spoke this morning, she was not just part of the crowd. And neither was he. And I don't want to be just part of the crowd. And there are, as we said this morning, there are many that come to Home Baptist Church all the time. But they're just part of the crowd. That's all it is. They're just part of a crowd. They don't really receive any benefit whatsoever. They go home just as discouraged as when they came in. They go home just as miserable as when they came in. Well, it's Brother Dan's fault. If he preached different messages, I went, no, it's not my fault. It's your fault. You're just part of the crowd. Isn't it better to be a participant and be blessed, as was this woman, as was this man. Brother Larry, you come and lead us in verse 7.